I'm Sandy Swallow. I'm Oklala Lakota in Northern Cheyenne. I've been an artist for over 30 years, and through my artwork have portrayed my heritage. Now I'm starting a brand new venture called Lakota Link, and I'm here to share with you, and I hope you enjoy it. Lakota Link. Greetings from the home of the Seven Council Fires, land of the 1868 Fort Laramie Treaties, bringing stories old and new of Lakota values, courage, respect, wisdom, to name a few. This is the second half of my interview with Scott Simpson about our collaboration of creating a song. Let me play the part my boys did for you. Listen to my boys.
Yes.
I want to ask Scott if you've had any encounters with horses in your life.
We did. My wife was really excited about having horses for a long time, and she had a couple of friends who had dealt with horses, and this is when we lived here in Spearfish, and a couple of horses came up available, and they were I think they were a mixture of, they were quarter horse, but also wild Mustang.
Oh.
And they already had names, Sugar and Coco. And we got those while we lived here because we had a little bit of space where we, in a ramshackle barn, and we had some space. And so we really learned a lot and just loved them so much. And, you know, like I was thinking about, you know, the work that you do to take care of the horses, getting up early, early, early in the morning, go out and feed and stuff. And that early morning when it's just you and the horses and how that quiet communication and stuff that happens, just wonderful. But we, about a year after we got them, we moved down to Texas, and we lived there for about 3 years before we moved back up here to Spearfish. We wanted to get back to Spearfish, but we had them in mind when we bought our property down there, and it was a big horse space in Buffalo Gap, Texas, and we were so excited because they had more space to run, and we had just a really nicer spot. And of course, that's a lot of horse country down there. But I loved riding. I never say that I'm a great rider, but I feel like I had a good connection. You know, when you're riding a horse and you can feel. Coco was a little bit smaller. And Coco was always very gentle and very cooperative and very patient. Sugar was a little less patient. Could tell if you were a little bit hesitant, if you were a little bit, you know, unsure of yourself. And Sugar would take advantage of that sometimes.
Oh yeah.
but I got good enough that Sugar and I were good partners when I was riding her. So, but yeah, it's, and you mentioned something about, and I know that the word for horse, which I think is toshunka, but it's the same as shunka, which is the word for dog with Lakota, and the relationship that you have, that I have now, I've got four dogs now. The relationships that I have with them, it's so very similar to the relationships that you feel with a horse. I'm not sure why that is, but there is some kind of horse-dog connection that's there that it makes sense that they basically have the same name in Lakota.
Right. And a lot of people don't understand that. So, you know, we're kind of trying to let people learn a few things. I have to share a story with you about, well, my husband was a cowboy. I mean, he grew up on a ranch way out in the middle of, well, by Smithwick, way out, touching the reservation line and stuff. And so he was quite a horseman. And when we got married and got our farm ranch, we would trail the cattle down from Oro to Chadron, Nebraska. And that's when I'd be able to ride, because I liked it. His horse was named Little Bob, and we had bought him. He had worked for the Western Cattle Company way back, and when they went out or moved their business to the Hart Ranch now, they sold off their horses, and that was the one Wayne always rode. And he was a quarter horse, a big horse, big, beautiful heart that horse had. And he, so we bought him. At that time, it was pretty tough to do that, to be able to purchase a horse like that. Well, this story is one time we got a limousine bull. And I don't know if you guys know much about bulls, but that limousine bull was pretty ornery and breechy and mean. And he just would find any place to get out of, you know, our fencing and take off to the neighbors. And, you know, that doesn't make those neighbors very happy to have a bull in there.
Yeah.
So this, we knew he was going to be inclined to do that. And Wayne went to, got on Little Bob and went out there to move him so he wouldn't get into the neighbors. And he came back, and I looked at him. I says, "What is the matter with you?" His forehead and head was all scraped up and bleeding. And he says, "Well, this is what happened." He says, "I was on Little Bob, and I was up by the limousine bull, and he looked at us, and I knew he was going to take us. And he says, I didn't know what was going to happen, but I knew if he took us, I'd be on the bottom, bottom of the bull and Little Bob." And he said, "So I bailed off, and I landed on my head. And the next thing I looked up, and there was Little Bob on all four of his feet. And that bull had put his massive head under Little Bob and lifted him up and brought him down. But he was sure-footed, and he stood there. And, I mean, that's the kind of horse Little Bob was. He just, you know, I just thought to myself, if any horses, you know, they go to heaven.
Yeah.
Is what they do, because they've got the heart and the love, and I know Little Bob's in heaven, and not only he's in heaven, but I believe he's having a wonderful time there too.
Yeah.
And so this kind of brings us up to our subject of running the Milky Way.
Yeah.
So I had a poem that I had written quite a few years ago, and I always wanted to make it into a song, but I can't sing, and I can't play music. And so I went to an expert, and what was so good for me, and that he got it. I mean, not everybody could get it the way. And he has been very respectful in keeping my words. And, you know, he could give you all the technical parts, but I'm just going to say, I know things had to be changed a little bit in order to have it musical and stuff. But Scott was, and he was just able to respectfully keep my words and my vision and my heartfelt, and even add a little bit to it. And and so I'm so glad that I found somebody like that. So Scott, tell me a little bit more about your thoughts on this.
Yeah. Collaborating is something that's really really tricky sometimes, you know, because it is a matter of both what one person does changes things, but there's got to be that respect and that honor of what is there. And to me, it seems a little bit like the spirit of the thing is there.
Yes.
Sometimes a word or two might need to be changed. Sometimes you adjust or add a little bit, but the spirit has to stay the same. Now, it doesn't stay merely that, because obviously this poem that you wrote was in response to a painting.
Right.
And the poem is not the same as the painting, but the poem takes the spirit of the painting and it presents it as a poem. And then now what we've done is a third thing where we've taken both of those, because I've also looked at the image, taken both of those, and we're trying to be respectful and create something that is now something else, but is still honoring the spirit of both the painting and the poem, and lifts it to a different kind of thing, you know, especially with the poem, with the painting you have images, with the poem you have words, with the song recording, you have sound, you've got voices, you've got a lot of things. And so it's really working with the same spirit or idea, but with different sorts of a different palette, you know.
Right. And you know, I would never be so bold to say that I'm a poet, but what I will say is that when I do a painting, I have this feeling inside of me that I'm able to put the painting together, and then I look at that painting and I think about how I can say it, like if somebody wasn't able to see the painting, how they could hear the words or read the words and have the feeling of the painting. Then Scott took it, like he said, took those two things together and put it at a different level. And, you know, I'm just kind of excited about it. I don't know what's going to happen to it, but I'm really hoping that people listen to the song and they will get that feeling that we have of the what's out in the heavens.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think that's another common thing. I mean, I think we've talked about horses a lot, and I think all human beings have had a connection with horses for a long, long time, as we have with dogs. Mm-hmm. But also the connection with the stars, with the heavens, and the connection with ancestors, with the Great Spirit, with God, with what is above us and what is beyond us, what we know a little bit about, but we don't certainly can never know everything about, you know. And I think that's what the painting and the song and the poem kind of say to me, that there are these things that we look up and we're in awe of and we're in wonder, and they're connected, and they're connected to us. You know, I feel a kinship with the horse. I feel a kinship with dogs. I feel a kinship with stars and with all the living things around. And I think that's a big thing.
And, you know, I'm Oklala Lakota in Northern Cheyenne. So my perspective has been quite a bit from that point of view. But my husband is a cowboy. And, you know, I think anybody actually who loves animals, loves horses, can relate to this song. It really reaches beyond us. It reaches to the stars.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, it's like just going back to what we talked about before earlier with those essential understandings that teachers use in schools. The goal is not that they're learning something completely different. It's that they're learning something that's coming from a different perspective, but that they already know something about in their heart because they already have sensed some of that already. They know something and they connect what they know with what they're now hearing from an elder. When you share that painting, when you share that poem, some people may not know anything about Lakota culture. They may not know anything about Shunkawakan. They may not know anything about that or the connection with the stars. But when they do that, they not only learn something new, they also connect it to what they've already known from their looking up the stars, from their time with horses, from their time in prayer, whatever that is. They sense a connection there, you know.
Here is a little snippet of our song, Running the Milky Way.
Hear the thundering hoofs, they run. Above us gathers the great horse nation. Rumbling past, near to far, their hooves ablaze, sparks turn to stars.
Wopala, thank you, Scott, for being on Lakota Link. And I would encourage everybody to check him out at scottsimpsonmusic.com. Well, I hope you enjoyed our segment. You know, I enjoy visiting with the people. And if you did, go to sandyswallowgallery.com where you can find my artwork and find some history and some background. Please subscribe to it, or if you have some comments, we would love to hear your opinion. This is a new adventure for us, and I value your opinion. This song is written and sung by my good friend Quincy Goodstar. Lakota Link is here to share Lakota values. God bless you on your journey. Wopila, thank you for joining us.